Very good morning to one and all. And today we return to our meditation from the book of Hebrews. And we know that the book of Hebrews is one of the difficult books in the Bible. And next week the subject is even harder. There are many, many interpretations. It took me many weeks to prepare that message. Just one message. However, we thank God for all the teachings that are in the book of Hebrews. So today, we come to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 3. Now, we must know that the book of Hebrews contains a series of warning. And known as the warning passages. But some people like to call it encouragement passages. Whichever way, it's still a warning to believers. And Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 to chapter 6 verse 3 is the third of the five warnings. And the writer here deals with the spiritual condition of his reader. Now, in the previous passage, the message that I preached last few weeks, the writer mentioned about Christ. Christ as our great high priest. And also that he mentioned about Melchizedek, that Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. And then when he was about to compare Christ's ministry with Melchizedek, and he remembers that many of his readers have not grown enough spiritually to grasp his explanation. Therefore, in chapter 5, verse 11, he turns aside and issues a warning to the spiritually immature readers. And so this passage is about that. When a person repents of his sin and accepts Christ as his Savior, a spiritual birth occurs. We all know that very well. He is born into the family of God. This spiritual birth is only the beginning of his life. It's not the end of his spiritual life. It's the beginning and not the end. The Bible says that we ought to grow into maturity in the Lord, from baby to adulthood. And these are all mentioned in the Bible. I quoted two passages. The first one is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, instructs us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, God wants all his spiritual children to grow, to attain spiritual maturity. Another passage written by the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Perhaps we can read this passage together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. All right, I think in my notes there, we read together, ready, go. Till we all come into unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and every wind of doctrine, and by the steer of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in a way to deceive. So here we are told that we are to grow. We are to grow. Paul says, till we come, we have to grow till we come unto the perfect man. Perfect here means matured. The word perfect means matured. We must grow until we are matured. I think every parent wants his children or her children to grow, to be a matured person. God also wants us to grow. And therefore, this is a teaching from the Bible that all of us must grow spiritually. So the writer described the condition of his reader. They were spiritually immature. And then he prescribed the solution and told them how to get beyond spiritual babyhood in their Christian lives. So this is the background of the whole message that I'm going to preach. First of all, let us consider the condition of the spiritual immaturity. What are the marks of the spiritual immaturity? How do we know that that Christian is still immature? There are certain signs, there are certain marks that is mentioned in the books of Hebrews. First of all, I would say that there's a limited capacity. The writer begins to describe the condition of the spiritual maturity, especially in chapter 5, verse 11. And here he's starting, he says that we have many things to say. The writer wants to tell them many things, many things. He was saying, I would like to say more to you, especially about the priestly ministry of Christ and Melchizedek. The writer tried to explain, tell them more and more and more. And then he realized that it's not time to tell them about all these things. There is a difficulty. This is a difficult subject, but it is not beyond explanation. It is not the writer is unable to explain. Actually, he was facing a double problems. And here he says, first of all, that the problem was hard to be uttered. Right? He said that it was hard to be uttered. Literally, it means hard to interpret or explain. That's the meaning here. What is the problem? Well, the problem is in verse 11 again. He said that, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. The word dull comes from two words. The first word, no, means not, and the other one is oteo, means to push. It means that a person who is dull of hearing has no push, no drive, no motivation. No motivation at all. He is slow or sluggish. That is the meaning here. And so we see that sluggish or dull of hearing is sometimes we don't normally think of. We never use this word at all. I do not use this word at all. I think many of us seldom use this word at all. More often we talk about dull preaching, dull teaching. And that we always experience. When you come to the church, you hear the message, so dull. Or teaching, you know, you attend the class, the teaching so dull. I experienced once in my college days, and I have a lecturer from Australia. And he spoke from the nose. Australian English is hard to understand, but from the nose was even difficult. You can't catch. I tried to focus for 50 minutes and then I couldn't get anything. I was taking the class of church history. So that, to me, is dull of hearing. Cannot get into it. And so we see here, more often we talk about dull preaching and dull teaching. I have heard many of these kind of things. However, to be honest, I may have done some of myself. I do not know. Unknowingly, you see. To me, it's okay, but to others, may not be okay. You see. But dull preaching is not the problem dealt with in this verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. The verse is not talking about dull preaching, but it's talking about dull of hearing, dull of hearing. This indicates the spiritual condition of his reader. They were dull in the realm of hearing. They seem to have no desire to hear new things. No desire to hear new things. And the verb here is better to translate, you have become and are now. In the past, it means that in the past, this reader were interested in spiritual things. They were full of fire, wanted to learn more and more. But are now losing the interest and zeal of learning. Have you seen such person? And this is the case here. They attend the church service, they hear the message, but the preaching is dull to their ears. And they don't get anything out of the sermon. The problem might not be the dull preaching. It might be that there is a spiritual dullness in their lives because they were not growing and maturing in the things of God. They have become restricted in their capacity to receive spiritual truth. Dullness of hearing is a symptom of retardation. And that was the conditions of the spiritual lives of the readers. So this is the first sign. If you hear anything, any message, it won't get in, this ear in, that ear out, there must be something wrong. Either the message is wrong or yourself is wrong. All right. So we must check on this. Secondly, the sign, the mark of immaturity has to do with lack of growth. And this is found in verse 12 says, for when for the time ye ought to be teacher, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now the writer points out that the reader had been Christian for some times, and then they ought by now to be teachers. All right, they have received a lot of teaching, they should be teachers. Instead, they are lacking in the understanding of even the most basic teaching of the Word of God. They had failed to grow spiritually. And three observations are mentioned here. First of all, they have been saved for a long time. These are believers. Now, I want to say this because next week is very important to find out whether the writer refers to the subject. Is it believers or unbelievers? In my case, I believe they were all believers. The subject is referring to believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 tells us that the readers are all believers. All right? They were long-time Christians. They were long-time Christians and should have been teachers of others. All right? They were long-time Christians. However, they still have not fully grasped the foundation, the basic truth of Christian faith. In a sense, they were still in the first grade, especially in the spiritual school. They must go back to the first principle of the Word of God. In other words, these people, these readers cannot go higher. They must go back to the basic and make sure they understand that before they can proceed. Now, at first, the reader had listened attentively to the teaching of the basic truth of God and had learned very well. And it was a real learning. They take down notes, they really study, they really know a lot. However, as it is well said, use it or lose it. The things that if you are not going to use it, you will lose it. There are many things that we can't remember because we didn't use it. And this is the main case here. And because they do not use it, some had lost it. So the reader ought to be teachers. That's what he said. But instead, they had to be taught by others the basic truth of God's word. They retrogressed in their spiritual diet. Here it says, they are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The word meat here refers to the first principle of the Christian faith, the basic Christian doctrine, Christian faith. Whereas strong meat points to the advanced doctrinal truth and its application to the issue of life. Not just knowing the advanced teaching of the Bible, but must know how to apply and use it. That's what I'm talking about. Two things go hand in hand. And so this reader will lack of this area. Thirdly, an immature Christian is one who is lack of skill. And this is found in verse 13. Verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Still a baby. We know a baby lacks the ability to make sound decision. Especially parents knows it very well. Sometimes we want to be sure that our children make the right decision. And a baby lacks this ability to do so. He is unable to integrate doctrine and duty. Many Christians are unable to apply the teaching of the Bible into their daily living. They do not know how to apply. And so the writer says that he is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word unskillful means what? Inexperienced. It means inexperienced. Therefore, he has no experience in the application of the Bible, of the scripture, to solving problems that arise in moral and practical situation. All right? He has to be told what to do and how to do it. And so the writer says that he is a babe, still a babe. A mature Christian can make those decisions for himself. So that's the difference between mature Christian and immature Christian. So these are the 3 points that the writer mentioned in the book of Hebrews concerning the marks of the immature Christians. Now, do this mark speaks of your spiritual condition? That's an important thing. Not just a reader, but how about yourself? Does this speak of you? You see? Now, what are the marks of maturity? In verse 14, the mark of maturity, verse 14, says, but strong meat belong to them that are of full age, adult, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I must explain this. In other words, a mature Christian has a capacity to make intelligent decisions. Why do I explain that? The word by reason of use tells us that, by reason of use. He recognized the mistake of his past, but have the good sense to learn from them, and he knows what to do and what to avoid. After, gone through it, that he has experience, he knows what to do and what to avoid. And he has a proper sense of timing. He knows when to do it not just know how to, when to do it. He knows the word of God and is able to apply the principle of God's word to their daily life. So this is the meaning here. A mature Christian has an acute sensitivity of a godly lifestyle. Why do I say this? Here it tells us that have their senses exercised. That's referred to here. He has cultivated senses of caution in the presence of moral danger, whether it is explicit or implicit. He knows which way to go. Thirdly, a matured Christian can discern between good and evil. What does that mean? Here it means that he can distinguish between good results and bad results of a decision which has not yet been made. You know what the writer say that a mature Christian will know. If you go by this way, what will be the result? Go by that way, what will be the result? Now, he knows how to discern between good results and bad results. That's a mature Christian. You not just think whatever comes to mind and then do it. That is dangerous. So a mature Christian have the discernment between good and evil. Now, Christians who do not apply biblical principle to their daily lives are immature. That's what the writers tell us. My friend, God did not give us the Bible just to read and receive information. Many of us, we know a lot of things in the Bible, information. But God gave us the Bible to help us to grow. God gave us the Bible to help us to make correct spiritual decisions in our daily lives. And that's what the Bible for. Not just to gather information. Very often I witness to people and they came from Christian school. They study from the Christian school. And then whenever you talk about the Bible, I say, oh, don't tell me I know a lot about the Bible. But if you test a person, there are many things the person do not know. The person do not know. Knowing the Bible is one thing, practicing is another thing. All right, there are two different things here. Therefore, a person who does not apply the principle of the Bible to his daily life is a spiritually immature. It must apply to a spiritual life. And so the writer of Hebrews described him as babes in Christ needing milk. Now, what is the solution? What is the solution now? Well, the writer now gives the solution, and this is found in chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 3. All right, first of all, the writer told the reader to forsake immaturity. And this is found in verse 1. Verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith towards God. These are the beginning, the basic doctrine. Okay? The believer, the writer has said that the readers have regressed to the infantile stage of wanting to be fed milk. And therefore, he said, leave this stage. Go further. Go further. And I want you to take note of the word leave. The word leave here means move beyond. It describes a bird move beyond the shell, move beyond the nest, and they're able to fly, make its own living. You see, that's the meaning here, leave, he's talking about. So the writer exhorts the readers to leave behind the elementary teaching concerning Christ and move on to perfection, to maturity. You see, he says, let us go on unto perfection. And that is the purpose that God has for each one of us. We all must move on, including the writer. Let us, all of us must move on. So that purpose is to grow to maturity. The New Testament emphasizes that all Christians are to grow to maturity. I have a lot of verses here, written here. I don't want to mention it. The sad thing is that many people never experience that kind of growth God desires of them. They grow physically, yes. You can see them growing. Like our chair leader today pray. Thank God for our young people here. Before they were young and now they become teenagers, right? They grow physically. We praise the Lord. And I notice they also grow spiritually. This is a growth. Well, this does not just refer to grow physically or grow materially. No, when they grow up, they work, they increase in wealth and so forth. This is okay. This is normal. But we must also grow spiritually. We must grow spiritually. And we mustn't remain as spiritual infants. Therefore, the writer says, let us go on unto perfection. Dearly beloved, we need to move on to maturity. And this is what the reader encouraged each one of us, you and I, to move on. If you are Christian, this is for you. If you are not a Christian, this does not apply to you. You must have a spiritual life, then you can grow. And this is applied to all the Christians. And here in verse 3, he says, this we do if God permits. Of course, God wants us to grow, not only permits. So, dear friend, God wants us to grow. And it's clearly stated in the Word of God. Not only He wants us to grow, He will help us to grow. He gave us a Bible telling us how we should grow. He gave us the Holy Spirit in our hearts, guiding us, telling us, motivate us to grow. He gave us, what else? Teachers, pastors, preachers, to preach the word to us, to challenge us, to push us to grow. You see, God has done a lot to help us to grow spiritually. He wants to bring us to attain spiritual maturity. But we must allow Him to do His work. And the question is, will you? Do you like to grow spiritually? Do you want to grow spiritually? As for myself, I want to grow spiritually. I want to be a Christian, a real Christian. And may God help us, each one of us, to grow spiritually, to be a real Christian that bring glory to God. Oh yes, Lord Jesus, we want to be a Christian in our heart. We want to live the life that You have designed for each one of us. And we pray that You will help us by Thy Word, by Thy Spirit, help us to grow spiritually, help us to attain spiritual maturity. And now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.